Dear friends, the shir should be a special schus for Avi Mori and Imi Morasi Sheyichyu, and it should also be the schus refuas kol hacholim, and the entire world should experience the Yeshuas Olamim. This shir is based on the Torah of Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Hagaon HaGadol Rabbi David Yitzchak Man Zatzal. And we are going to be talking about the inyan of Melamed Ben Chavero Torah, Siyata Dishmaya. Without Siyata Dishmaya, what can we do in life? Nothing at all. So it says, Ve'ela Toldos Moshe V'Aaron V'Yom Dibra Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai. These are the descendants of Moshe and Aaron on the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. Ve'elu Shmos b'nei Aaron, and these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Habachor, Nadav, Ve'Avihu, Elazar, Ve'Isamar. The Bachor, Nadav, and Avihu, and Elazar, and Isamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron. Rashi writes, Ve'eno Maskir ela b'nei Aaron. First it says, Ve'ela Toldos Moshe v'Aaron. And then it only mentions the sons of Aaron. V'nikru Toldos Moshe. So why are they called the descendants of Moshe? It says, Rashi lefi shelimdan Torah, because he taught them Torah. Melamed shekol melamed is ben chavero Torah, ma'ale alav akasuv ki'ilu yelado. This teaches you that if you teach your son's friend Torah, it's as if you gave birth to him. So they're like Moshe's children. And this is from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis Ayin Sham. So that's why it says Toldos Moshe of Aaron, and then only mentions sons of Aaron, because if you teach them Torah, it's as if you gave birth to them. So it's like they're the Toldos of Moshe. Look in the Gur Aryeh, in the Kli Yakar, in the Sifsei Chachamim, and others who ask that if that's true, then this isn't only B'nai Aaron. Rather, call Yisrael. Moshe taught all the Jewish people Torah. So why does it say a dafka about B'nai Aaron, Ayin Sham? B'chin Etzem HaDavar, that the Pasuk would tell us that it's as if he gave birth to them, needs an explanation. It's an inyan of Jerash, Ki'ilu, Yelado, not that their mamash has told us. So this is B'chlal, not Pshuto Shal Mikra. So we want to know what the Pshuto Shal Mikra is. Ve'ela Toldos Aaron u'Moshe. These are the descendants of Moshe and Aaron. And yet we only talk about the descendants of Aaron. So what's Pshat? Ramban says that it's not the Iker Pshat, but Rashi learns it as Pshat. Rashi writes in numerous places telling us Pshuto Shel Mikra. We also have to understand what the Kli Yakar asks, that Rashi's right, what's Pshat in this Pasuk Beis, Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Aaron, and Moshe wasn't mentioned. Pasuk Beis is coming to specify the names of the Toldos Aaron and Moshe that it says in Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph, it also says they were Toldos Moshe. So then why in Pasuk Beis does it say Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Aaron? Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Aaron, Aaron or Moshe? If you want to go with that Mahalach, that they were talking that if you teach someone Torah, it's as if you gave birth to them. Then Bavakasha, you can write Moshe, but be consistent. Do it in Pasuk Aleph and in Pasuk Beis. Why in Pasuk Beis is it omitted? And Be'ikar, it's Tamua, what it says in Pasuk Aleph, Yom Dibra Hashem is Moshe Bahar Sinai. What do the toldos of Aaron and Moshe have to do with the Dibra Hashem? With the speaking of God and Har Sinai? Rashi says that this means that on this day they became the toldos of Moshe, because Moshe taught them what he learned from the mouth of Hashem. Look in the Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh and the Chachamim Behold. But we still have to understand, why is it Toldos Dafka in Har Sinai? How does Har Sinai fit into this? It's pshat that he taught them what he learned from Ipi Agvura, so why dafka Har Sinai? say when Hashem spoke to Moshe. But the pasuk emphasizes in Har Sinai, and also what it says V'yom Diber Hashem is hard to make sense, because it says B'yom. What's B'yom? From the Dibur Hashem to Moshe. You already want to write Har Sinai, so say Har Sinai. Why are you emphasizing the Yom? So in the Torah Shlema, here Rav Kasha brings various midrashim that darshan by Yom, but we want to understand Pshat HaDavar. So we see from this pasuk that besides the Etzem Dibur of Hashem El Moshe Bahar Sinai, there was a special inyan of B'yom Diber Hashem El Moshe Bahar Sinai. And we also see this in the Gemara in Psachim Samaches Samet Beis HaKol Modim Shabbat Seres Bina Nami Lachem. Everybody agrees that on Shavuos there's a din of Lachem. Why? That you have to enjoy yourselves also. The reason is because it was a day Shenitna Bo Torah. And the Gemara says, famous Gemara, Yilav Hayoma, Rabbi Yosef says, that if not for that day that caused it, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, how many Yosefs would there be walking around the street? So it's also not Talui Be'etzem HaTorah, in the Torah itself, but B'yom Shenitna Bo Torah. We have this emphasis on the day the Torah was given. So what's this additional linion that relates to the day that the Torah was given? So it would appear, based on the Nefesh HaChaim and Shaar Gimel, Perek Yud Aleph, and the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem, Pasuk Hey, Ra'u Kol Basar Yachdav, Ki Pi Hashem Diber, and all flesh together will see that God, the mouth of God, spoke. In other words, that our perception will become so pure, will be zocha to perceive and to see, even with our fleshy eyes, the inyan of the spreading of the speech of Hashem in the entire world, like there was already such a hasaga at the time of Matan Torah, as it says, V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'kolos. We saw the sounds. And there he says that we can explain the mechilta, that they would see what was normally heard, and they would hear what was normally seen. In other words, that so batel became, so nullified became all of their kochos hagashmiim, and their hasaga became so mizukach, became so pure, to the point that on things that they would normally see with their fleishige augen, with their fleshy eyes, now they had a bittel of their chushim, and they would be able to see them without even looking. Because they weren't telling in their eyes anymore. And if something normally had to be explained, they had to hear it, now they would see it. In other words, they were on such a high spiritual level. It was bitul hachushim. It was a nullification of their senses, and they were able to perceive things above their senses. So we understand, according to this, that Bizman Matan Torah, they were elevated to see the truth of the matters, which is the seeing of the soul in the world to come, as we're going to have at the end of days. V'ra'u Kol Basar Yachdav Ki Pi Hashem Diber. Going to be able to see what Hashem says. I mean, see, hear what Hashem says. No, it's going to be a bitul hachushim. It's going to be a much higher madrega. In this world, we are limited by our senses. So what's normally seen, we can see, and what's normally heard, we can hear. There they reached the point where what was normally seen could be heard, what was normally heard could be seen. And that, my sweet friends, is a super wow, meaning they're above chushim. The mechilt above senses, and the mechilt in Parshas Yisro, and the pasuk v'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'kolos, and that chazal darshan ro'im es ha'nishma, we see what was normally heard. The mechilt says, lehodia shvachan shel Yisrael, shekesha'amdu lufnei har sinai lekabel es ha'torah, Hayushomim es hadibur umefarshinoso. Shenamar yisovivenu yivonenehu. This teaches you the praise of the Jewish people, that when they stood at Har Sinai to receive the Torah, they could hear the dibur and explain it. Leazar melodia shvachan shel Yisrael. They didn't have any blind people. We darshan that sumin and chirshin and chigrin, lame, no more lame, deaf, dumb. So we have to understand how the drasha of v'cholam roim es hakolos fits in with the hayushomim es hadibur mefarshim. Also, it says yisovivenu yivonenehu. So how does that fit into this pasuk? I get that they were able to, that they were healed. So roim es hakol, v'cholam, everybody saw, even the sumin. So I get the fact that they were healed, but what do you mean they were able to explain the dibur? How is that expounded from the pasuk? And also it says lehodia shivchan shel Yisrael, to tell you the praise of the Jewish people. What's the great praise of the Jewish people? How are they were healed? You say they were healed, that's terrific, but why is that a praise? So based on what we said, we understand very well, because the sinyan of roim es hakolos is that they were elevated to a level that their ikar mitzias, their primary existence, was on the level of the soul, without any limitations, without any hiding of the body. And the Kabbalah Satar was done by the neshama, as it says in the Mara Masecha Shavuos, and Aflamet Tes Amid Beis, Shigam Hadoros Habayim V'Geirim Hayu B'Matan Torah, that the future generations in the Geirim were also at Matan Torah. And that's what it says in the Pasuk Asher Einenu Po. Maharsha says that's talking about the neshamas. I ain't sham. And therefore, they're also able to be mefarish the dibur. In other words, they gave the correct interpretation that comes through the soul, that's not limited by the body. And also, the fact that they were no longer blemished, it's because their body became tufel, became subordinate, became secondary to the soul. And since their soul was complete, memela, the guf, that is secondary to the soul, had no pagam, because that's included in the shleimus hanefesh, that if you want to be perfect, then you have to have a perfect body. The body serves the soul, and they were living on the soul level, so the body had to be perfected. And that's what it means, lehodia shivchan, that it says in the Mechilta, shenasa etzlam ha'ikar ben nefesh v'lo beguf. They became primarily souls and not bodies. And mikoach zeh batel mumam. That's the shevach. We wanted to know what the shevach is. I'll tell you what the shevach is. But now they became souls and not bodies. And therefore they can understand what Hashem had taught them properly. And their bodies were healed because their bodies were subordinate to the souls which had reached the perfection. And this we see explicitly in the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. And what it says there, that even geirim paskazo hamasam kevin shehayu mazlaihu b'matan Torah, that geirim, their zohama, the impurity stopped, because their mazel was at matan Torah. Rashi writes, mazlaihu havu, shekol she'amdu al har Sinai, niskachu v'nitaru v'nisrapu mikol mum, v'af ivrim u'pischim shal b'yisrael k'detanya b'sifri. That when they stood at Har Sinai, they were sanctified and they were purified, and the Baal Emum were healed, and even blind and lame people were healed. So that was a psikas zohama. Even of the Geirim, because their mazel was at, even though they were future Geirim, their mazel was at Matan Torah, and they were purified. So we see explicitly that they there was a purity that there was a healing was because they reached the level of the soul, as Rashi says. Niskachu v'nistaru v'nisrapu mikol, they became so pure and so sanctified, they were healed. And that's why Paska Zohamasam. That's why they were healed. They were healed because they were so pure at Matan Torah. Al Kopanim, what do we see from this? We see that the purity of the Jewish people brought about a state where their bodies were healed. Why? Because they were now on the soul level. Once you're on the soul level, so that is the greatest healing, even for your body. And that would appear to be the Pshat in the Gemara in Shabbos, and of Peches Amid Beis, every dibur that came out of the mouth of God, the whole world was filled with besamim. In other words, in a gashmiistic world, in a material world, a person lives from gashmias. But in Matan Torah, that was primarily for the soul, and the body was only tafel to the soul, and therefore their existence was through besamim, was through good-smelling things that are shayach to the soul, like we see in the Gemara in Brachas. What is something that the soul benefits from and the guf doesn't? That is reyach. That is smell. Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis, in the Mice of Eliyahu and Rabba Bar Avuha. Excuse me, Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis. There's a story that Eliyahu led Rabba Bar Avuha to Gan Eden, and he said, remove your cloak and gather up some of these leaves, shkome hanitarfe, which he did, and then he heard a voice that declared, who's consuming his world to come like Rabba Bar Avuha? So he spread out his cloak and he threw away the leaves, and even so, when he brought his cloak back, he sold it for 12,000 dinars, because he knew that this was taken from his portion in the world to come. He didn't want to benefit from himself, and he divided the sum among his sons-in-law. But we see from this Gemara that Gan Eden, a world to come, is primarily about smell. We see in Chazal, in Yabnaros, da Farsima, Parsiman rivers in Gan Eden, that's also in the name of Reach. And we understand why there's a special connection between Reach and the world to come in Gan Eden, because the soul is going to get its pleasure there, and the soul relates to smell. What is something that the neshama gets hana from? That is smell. So again, if at Matan Torah the world was filled with a good smell, that's because we are on a soul level. So, according to this, it would appear as follows, that's the emphasis in the Sugya and Psachim. On the day it's the day that the Torah was given, because with Matan Torah, Nischadesh b'yom shenitna Torah mabad amitish u'mabad hanefesh, that in the day the Torah was given, there was this new view of the world. Now you view the world from the perspective of the soul, that the soul is primary, and the body is just secondary, and serves the spiritual. And if until now this was only b'yidia, now it became mamashus mamish on the day the Torah was given. And that's what's mechayev, that on this day something very special happened. Till now we knew it, and now it became real. That's what's the ikar, is the soul. And therefore, It's on this day that we have to have pleasure. Not only pleasure of the soul, but also pleasure of the body. Because it was on this day that we realized that the body is secondary, is subordinate to the soul, and the body is only here to serve the soul. So by realizing the tachlis of both body and soul, that's a day we should have pleasure for both body and soul, and therefore the Gemara says that everyone agrees that tzeres b'ina nami lachem, that on Shavuos there also has to be pleasure for the body in addition to pleasure for the soul. And that's what Rabbi Yosef says. If not for this day, how many Yosefs are there in the market? So he's not bragging that he knows how to learn better than everybody else, but he's talking about the shuk, the outside. Kama Yosef ika b'shuka. Shuk, like we see in Mishlei numerous times, is out there, outside. So if not for that day, the Yosef, which is the guf, which is the body, is shaykh to the chutz, the outside, to the streets. And he's not shaykh to the nefesh, which is the pnimius, which is the ikar. And it's only because of that day the guf became so elevated that now it has shaykhs to the nefesh, which is pnimius. And therefore this is a reason for the body to be very happy. And therefore he said, I want you to make me a very special animal, an egla tilta, like a third born calf, a very, very good cut of meat I want you to make for me, because this is a day that my body should rejoice also. Because this is the day of both body and soul, because the body realizes that what's the ikar? It's the soul that's the ikar. So now we can say as follows, that our ikar parsha is relating to the choosing of the Kohanim and Shevet Levi, like the Ramban writes in Pasuk Aleph, that it says in Pasuk Vav, Hakrev is Mata Levi. Now we have the choice of B'nai Levi. So from this it emerges that it says in Psukim Aleph to Dalet regarding the choosing of the Kahuna is talking about the choice of the Kahuna. Afterwards it's going to be the choice of B'nai Levi. And on this it says, who is chosen for the Kahuna and how do they become Kohanim? So that's what it says in Pasuk Gimel. Elush, Elush Mos B'nei Aharon HaKohanim HaMeshuchim Asher Milei Adam L'Chahen. These are the names of the sons of Aharon HaKohanim that were anointed and their hands were filled to serve. In other words, how did they become Kohanim? Because they were anointed. And in that it says in Pasuk Dalet, V'yamas Nadav Aviyu L'fnei Hashem V'akriv HaMezar L'fnei Hashem Emid Bar Sinai. And Nadav and Avihu died when they brought the strange fire before God in Midbar Sinai, and they didn't have sons, and Elazar and Isamar served in their stead, substituting for Aaron their father. Rashi says, even when Aaron was alive, Elazar and Isamar were already serving. Ramban explains that they had a din kohen gadol b'chayav because they were anointed like him in his lifetime. But it shouldn't be done this way. Ledaros, you wait for the Kohen Gadol to go. Here they're already anointed when they were alive, when he was alive. Of course, when they were alive, when he was alive, when Aaron was alive. In other words, their kehuna was not because they were the sons of Aaron, because then it's done through Yerusha, and they don't need a Meshicha to make them a Kohen Gadol. But rather, they became Kohanim through the Meshicha. And through this, they became Kohanim Gedolim, even in Aaron's lifetime. And that's why Pinchas only became a Kohen after he killed Zimri, because he wasn't anointed with his father Elazar, like it says in Psachim on page 101b. Look at Rashi at the beginning of Pinchas. So we see from this that this inyan, that the sons of Aaron were anointed, became Kohanim through their anointing, through the Meshicha. And that's what the parasha is talking about. How are they chosen? They were chosen by being anointed. So now it would appear that it says in Pasuk Aleph, Ve'ele Toldos, etc., Biyom Diber Hashem al Moshe, Har Sinai is coming to explain that it says that Bnei Aaron needed Mashiach unlike other Kohanim, that the very fact that they're Bnei Aaron alone is enough to make them Kohanim. Normally you're just born a Kohen and you're a Kohen for life. You don't have to do anything. But they needed a special Mashiach. Because we can say that the sons that were born afterwards were Bnei Kohanim, and through this they were automatically Kohanim. Hashem came those who were born before their father's Mashiach. Their father's Mashiach doesn't work for them. But the Ramban writes in Parashas Shemini and in the Shorash HaChamishi that Sefer HaMitzvos, that Mashiach of Kelim and of Kohanim was a Mashiach Lidoros Be'elu Shebo'u Acharkach. So it emerges that you don't need Mashiach B'Fo'al. As long as there is a Siba to become a Kohen, because your father is a Kohen, so that is enough for you to be a Kohen. Kohuna was given to this Shevet, and therefore even if one wasn't personally anointed, he doesn't have to be, as long as his father was anointed. So it's not pshat, like we said before, that since they were born after the Mashiach, they needed anointing. No, it's not true. The moment you did anointing to the father Kohanim, so that works for the children as well. So the anointing of Aaron should have been enough for his sons. So why don't we say regarding Bnei Aaron that they can be Kohanim because they're the sons of Aaron, and Aaron was anointed as a Kohen, they're also Kohanim. And on this it says in Pasuk Aleph that Bnei Aaron needed Mashiach because they were also Bnei Moshe. You know why they needed a special anointing? Because they were also Bnei Moshe. And therefore they needed a personal reason, if we will use Talmudic terminology. Bayi sibas kahuna atzmis behem, she'ena inyan l'kahuna saharon. They needed a personal reason to be Kohanim that was not at all related to the kahuna of Aaron, because they were also Moshe's son. So this doesn't help that they're Aaron's son, because the fact that they're Moshe, and Moshe, what I mean, on a permanent level, Moshe was temporarily a Kohen, but permanently Moshe wasn't a Kohen. So they are considered the sons of Moshe, so maybe they're just Levim, like the sons of Moshe are Levim. So therefore they need a special Mashiach, like the Ramban writes, and the Pasuk Vayichayin Elazar V'samar al Pnei Aaron Avim. So they needed a special Mashiach. Eile Shmos Bnei Aaron Kohanim HaMeshuchim Asher Mile Yadav L'Chayin. They needed a special Mashiach. That's what the Ramban says. The Doris, you don't do that. The Doris, you don't do Mashiach on the children when the father is still alive. So if you're a Kohen, you're a Kohen also in your father's lifetime. But to be a Kohen HaMashuach, Shehayu Gam Kohanim Gedolim, Nimshachim Kamo B'Chayiv, they were anointed with him in his lifetime. So that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us when it tells us they were also the sons of Moshe. And since they were also the sons of Moshe, they needed a special Mashiach B'Chayi Aaron, because now they need a Siba Atzmis, a personal reason that they should be considered Kohanim Gedolim. Not only Kohanim Gedolim, but that they should Bechal be considered Kohanim, because they are the sons of Moshe. So they need a Sibas Kohuna Atzmis. And the explanation is, and this is where it all ties in together, that when you're melamed your son, your friend's son's Torah, it's like you gave birth to him. It's explained based on the Mishnah of Mitzia, the Flamed Gimel Amid Aleph, that when you do Hashavas Aveda, your father, your master, your Rebbe comes before your father, Why? Because your father brought you to Chai Olam Hazeh, and your Rebbe brings you to Chai Olam Haba. In other words, your Rebbe gives you life in the next world, like your father gives you life in your body in this world. However, the inyan of the Neshama and Olam Haba are not revealed, and the Dinei Torah was said here in this world, as it appears in this world. And through this, even after your Rebbe teaches you Torah, you're 100% your father's son. Because from what appears in this world, your body, you belong to your father. Your father is the only person who gave birth to you, who is responsible for your birth, physically responsible for your birth, not literally giving birth to you, obviously. However, B'nai Aaron, that existed, B'yom Diber Hashem Es Moshe Bahar Sinai, that they were around when God spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai, that we explain that this day was the day where they had a clear recognition of the truth. They had a soul perception of the absolute truth. Not like Chai Olam Hazeh, that we hear the kolos and we don't see them. Here we're elevated above Olam Hazeh. Here they saw with the Re'ah Pshuta Shel B'nai Adam that Moshe is their father because he was the one who taught them Torah. So we understand now why everybody else is excluded. Right? Moshe taught everybody Torah. Why do we only learn this about these people, about Elazar and Isamar? And the answer is because they needed an extra special Mashiach. That's what the parash is explaining. Why they need to be anointed. Because they saw so clearly that the Iker is the Nefesh. And therefore Moshe Mamish became like their father. They were on that level. They were living on that Madrega. Oh, so you're B'nai Moshe, so then you're lacking in your Kahuna. And therefore you need a special Mashiach. Unlike those people who weren't B'yom Diber Hashem Es Moshe Bahar Sinai, they don't need a special Mashiach. Because they're living on the level of the body, and their father is a Kohen, so they're a Kohen. So everything is fine. Everything is cool. When it comes to B'nai Aaron, they were there B'yom Diber Hashem Es Moshe Bahar Sinai. Har Sinai was an amazing thing, what happened there. What happened there was this great day of refuah. Had a dafka be at Har Sinai, and dafka on that day is when it happened. So therefore they needed Mashiach, because they have a reason not to be considered B'nai Aaron, because they're also the sons of Moshe, because they were able to perceive on a soul level who really gave birth to them. So now we understand that in Pasuk Aleph it tells us the Hakdama to the Parsha. And what's the Hakdama? That Ela told us Aaron and Moshe. These are the children of Aaron and Moshe. B'yom Diber Hashem Es Moshe B'Har Sinai. When God spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. Meaning that on this day they had a perception that they were the sons of Moshe. This is the Hakdama. And then we go weiter and say these are the sons. Now we go back into the physical world. Oh, you're back in the physical world. These are the sons of Aaron. The Bechor is Nadav. Then there's Avihu, Elazar, Isamar. These are the sons of B'nai Aaron. Now we keep talking about B'nai Aaron. Like Kliyakar asked, why? Before they were B'nai Moshe, why they don't B'nai Aaron? Only B'nai Aaron. Before they were also B'nai Moshe. And the answer is because now we're coming back down to earth. Elishmos B'nai Aaron, Akoana Meshucha Mesher Mili Adam Lechain. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron who have to be anointed, because down here on earth they're talking of the sons of Aaron. Also Pasuk Dalet, Vayamos Nadav Avihu, Fnei Hashem, etc., etc. Vayichain Elazar B'Samar B'nai Aaron Avim. So the Hakdama is that they used to be on a soul level, therefore they're Mufka in some way from being only Aaron's son. So that's what requires, that's what necessitates that they should need another Meshicha. And then Vayter, after we go back down from Har Sinai, from that amazing day, from those tremendous hasagis, then they have to do Mashicha, and they're considered biologically. We go down to the biological level, where they are the sons of Aaron, the Hadvarim, and Kol Kach Niflaim, Kol Kach Nisgavim, that I have no words. This is, if we may borrow from our Shir, above the senses. Baruch Hashem, so we should be Zoche to continue learning such amazing Torah. Lil Modu Lelami, Lishma Velas, Lekhams Kol Rizom Torah, Sovi Ahava. Amen, vi amen. Shalom, shalom, sweetest and most beloved friends.